Are you ready to get informed and inspired? This is the Homeschool Hope Podcast, where you are introduced to the people and the products to equip you for your homeschooling journey. Whether you are a veteran homeschooler, are just getting started, or haven't even started yet, this show will give you the hope in the future of home education.
This is episode 004 of the Homeschool Hope Podcast. And the affiliate focus for today is the Ron Paul Homeschool Curriculum. If you want a great homeschool curriculum that will cover all the bases that you need from a libertarian perspective, as well as from a highly academic perspective, most of the professors are, or most of the teachers that are instructing it are PhD level professors, and it's a great program. There are 26 reasons why you should enroll your student in the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum and 4 reasons why you may not want to. You can check out those 26 reasons and the 4 reasons if you go to the show notes and you go to the link that says Ron Paul homeschool curriculum, or if you go onto the webpage, homeschoolhope.com, on the right side banner columns, you will see a link to the Ron Paul curriculum. If you click on that, it'll take you to the webpage that will tell you the 26 reasons why you should and 4 reasons why you might not want to. So check that out and see if this is the avenue that you want to take in homeschooling your children using the Ron Paul homeschool curriculum. Okay, everyone, I'm really excited today because I have a special guest with me today, Diane Lockman. And every week during the school year, Diane teaches high school humanities classes to homeschool teens. She also involves herself in English as a second language. She teaches Iraqi refugees, and she's also a reading comprehension for third and fourth grade inner city girls. So she, runs teaching as part of her life, and it's exciting to have her on here. She is a contributor to the Practical Homeschooling magazine and occasionally speaks at state, local, and virtual homeschooling conferences like the Heart of the Matter Online and Indiana Association of Home Educators. And during the fall, Diane serves on the team that hosts 4 local classes of perspectives on world Christian movement. So, Diane, it sounds like you're very busy. Thank you for taking your time to be on the show with us today.
It's my pleasure to be here, Stephen. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, you're welcome. Why don't we just get started, first of all, just by having you introduce yourself. I just said a little bit, but maybe you could go a little bit more into depth about who you are and your family.
Mm-hmm. My name is Diane Lockman, and I am originally from Chattanooga, Tennessee. I live in Indianapolis now. I have been here for about 12 years, I would say. Had a son. Our first son I lost as an infant. He had a genetic abnormality, and we lost him as an infant, and that was pretty critical to our decision to stay home, or my decision to stay home when we did have healthy kids. Mm. I've got 2 children now, 2 living children that are in college. One is about to graduate, and one is a sophomore. And so now I find myself in a new chapter of my life now that I've graduated homeschool. And have seen them all the way through, and know that how incredible it is to go the whole way, and that it is possible. And so, I actually have what I would consider a ministry to homeschooling moms and dads on the internet to support them with lesson plans, creative teaching ideas, encouragement, as well as these high school classes that I'm doing now. And what I've done with the high school classes is I've taken the best of what I did with my own kids here, and am sharing it now with other kids.
Okay, very good. Yeah. Well, that all sounds exciting. I do have to say, just on a personal note, we lost our last child because of a birth defect abnormality, so I can relate to you on that scale. Well, obviously, you have had some success with the homeschooling. Your kids are off and on their own, or at least on the process of getting on their own in college and everything. But why don't we back up, first of all, and just why don't you tell a story or a situation of a time where you had a great deal of challenges when it came to homeschooling, if you had any. Obviously, you probably did. But
yeah, I did. Well, originally, my kids were in kindergarten and first grade in a public school system, and it was a very good system, but my husband and I began to feel like we might want to travel and do some missionary teaching. Mm-hmm. And, because I had lost my first son, I really, really didn't want to put them in boarding schools, and a lot of U.S. missionaries, you know, end up putting their kids international schools or English-speaking schools, and so the wives can support the mission. And I just cried out to the Lord, Lord, I just can't do that. I had to wait so long before we actually had children, and then losing my son. So by the time this rolled around, this opportunity for us to teach overseas, I was just saying, Lord, what are we going to do here? And that's when he introduced me to homeschooling, and I hadn't really been aware of homeschooling before that. So, mm-hmm. Of course, I started researching it, got really excited about it, and said, well, I'll go on and start homeschooling before we go overseas, just so I'm ready. And my biggest challenge, I think, right away was I had two challenges, I guess, was the expectations of family and neighbors and friends and the way that they reacted. So this was 15 years ago, I guess. And at that time, there weren't as many homeschooling families. I wasn't one of the original pioneers, who were, not letting their kids out during the day because they didn't be considered truant. But I also was encountering quite a bit of obstacles and objections from family and friends. And but I really felt like this was a calling on my life, so I needed to do it, even though there was not a lot of support. And so I think with time, we overcame that challenge because they see my kids now and see what kind of relationship I have with my kids, how my kids have behaved in college and haven't, left their faith or anything like that. And so the time has really been the proof that it was successful and that it worked. And then another challenge that I had was my first introduction to homeschooling was classical education. And I read some materials on that and felt like it was very exciting, but I tried to do everything that these gurus were telling me that I needed to do, and I got really overwhelmed. And I'm a high achieving person anyway, and so I felt like, wow, if I'm feeling overwhelmed, there's got to be other moms out there who are feeling overwhelmed too.
Yeah.
So that was one reason that I decided to start ministering to other moms through the things that I was learning. So.
Okay, very good. So it kind of sounds like you got started for the flexibility purposes, and then you ran from it from there. And of course, now your kids have seen the benefits of it. Obviously, they have had some success. You want to share, a little bit about that. You talked some about the success you had and just being able to see them trained up and everything. But you want to go into more detail about that?
Yeah, I think one of the best things about homeschooling is that we're able to really tailor the curriculum to our individual child's needs, interests, desires, gifts, spiritual gifts, things like that. And so if you look back on our story, you can see clues along the way of who our kids were as individuals and how we were able to tailor or customize the curriculum and the extracurricular activities and things like that to both of the kids. Mm-hmm. To our family story.
Right.
And so, I think one of the big most important things that we did in our family was we took this theme of justice, which is really important for us. And my husband's an attorney, and we really care about justice. And so we took that and we tailored it through the curriculum by immersing the kids in competitive speech and debate. So they learn how to argue both sides of a point winsomely without being real combative. And so they got all kinds of skills that way. But also they became involved with a local juvenile teen court system, which is an alternative to the regular juvenile court. Mm-hmm. So they actually got to use their skills in serving kids in the city who were not doing very well, who were getting charged with misdemeanors and some real low class felonies. So that was one of the best things I would say is how we were able to really uniquely tailor what we do in the curriculum and also the extracurricular to meet not only the kids' needs, but our family's story.
Right. Yeah, that's great. It allows you the opportunity to tailor that for them. And it sounds to me like they were able to get some experiences that they wouldn't have been able to get otherwise. And that's a real benefit. And are they using those debate skills now?
They are. Absolutely. They both competed in speeches and debate. So they learned how to do interpretive speeches, which are more like acting without costumes, and persuasive type of platform speeches, some current events type speeches where they learn to talk about, big world and national events. And then also the debate side would have been policy, like U.S. policy. So my son is very interested in federal policies and constitutional law and in these things that he kind of got introduced to them through debate. And my daughter is in, she's about to graduate from college right now. She's been very involved in just public speaking on campus as well. And so those skills were well worth it. It took some time away from the typical curriculum, but we just counted that debate time, that speech and debate competitive time, as part of the curriculum. So,
right. Sure. Absolutely. And if you were in a regular school, you would have electives, and that would just count as elective. The benefit of being homeschooled, of course, is, and you know this as well as I do, that it doesn't take as long as the regular school year, and so they, it gives them opportunity to do other things, and that's really good. You know, we need a lot more Christians to be involved in the public square and to be able to do it in a way that is not abrasive, but speaks the truth. And so I'm really glad that you were able to train them up in debate and speech and that kind of thing, because that's a real asset. So let's change gears a little bit now and tell me a little bit about the classicalscholar.com, which is your website, and what your goals are with that, what you hope to achieve, and why you got that started.
Okay. Well, sometime like during the middle school years, my husband said, why don't you start sharing what you're learning with these other moms? Because I had made this paradigm shift within the idea of classical. I did a lot of research and a lot of reading of ancient histories to find out what real classical was like. Mm-hmm. So I was reading some ancient Greek history, some ancient Roman histories, translations, of course, and I started to really study what classical really looked like. And, of course, then if you look at New Testament and how Jesus discipled his disciples, it's really a version of what the ancient Greeks and Romans did with their classical education. So one of the things that I originally thought about classical when I was first reading and researching about it was that it was a 12-year program of three stages where you go through a grammar stage, a logic stage, and a rhetoric stage.
Yeah, that's referred to like the trivium, right?
Yeah, it's called the trivium. Mm-hmm. But when I started reading these histories, which really go back to ancient Greece and ancient Rome and, of course, biblical times, I started seeing that it really wasn't a 12-year trivium, that the trivium was actually this idea of teaching the language skills, which we call grammar, and the critical thinking skills, which we call logic, and the communication skills, which is called rhetoric. Those are all taught at the same time.
Right.
In an original model, they weren't taught back to back like a chronological thing. So it was almost like I went, like the light bulb went off, and I thought, wow, we're trying to take a 12-year public school model and ramp it up and call it classical, but it's really not the way that kids learn. They don't learn like in that kind of sequence. You know, you're developing critical thinking skills and communication skills and language skills from the very beginning, and it all happens together, an integrated type of thing. So my husband said, you really need to share this. And I said, not yet. I'm busy. Not yet. Yeah, please. But I did. I went on and published a paperback with some ideas that I had, and it's called Trivium Mastery, and you can find it on Amazon or on my website if you want it. And then really waited until the kids were graduated, and now that they were gone from the home, that's when I said, I really need to take this seriously and spend more time on it, because up until that point when the kids were here, they were my priority. So now that the kids are gone, I've actually invested some time and effort and money into making this a support system for moms, especially. The dads, of course, are welcome, but it's my audience is really moms. That's who is actually talking to me about it really a lot. And so I've got Classical Scholar. I've got a mom's course that I'm developing. I've actually run it with 63 moms already, and it's about to come out at the end of this year. But it's a support course for moms who have kids from kindergarten through eighth grade.
Okay.
And I'm helping them teach those skills of the trivium. We start with your family's story and your values and your themes, and then we move into the real concrete areas of lesson planning and, you know, more strategic type of planning and executing the plan for a semester at a time.
Right. And it's designed to integrate all three of those aspects of education, right?
Right. And, you know, you mentioned that you can do things much quicker with homeschooling. Right. If you are teaching skills in those first 8 school years instead mm-hmm. of subjects, you can really accelerate what you're doing so that the kids can focus on the extra areas that they're really interested in the high school years. So
right, exactly.
It's very beneficial to do skills instead of subjects in the early years. And then I've also got my high school courses, which I'm offering online. I started teaching them in my kitchen a few years ago. I'd have friends come over that were also homeschooling with their kids, and they would do courses with me and my own children. And so I've taken that content, and I've got it online now. I just launched my first high school class. It was called Narrative Fiction. Huh. It was a class for people who knew how to write already. So it wasn't an introductory level class, but it was for kids who were very interested in maybe being published authors.
Okay.
So that course just ran. We've got one more week of that, and then it will repeat again in January if anyone's interested. You can find that on Classical Scholar, too, if you want. And then I've also got lesson plans, which are short little basically they're like little ebooks that you could download onto your smartphone and take with you to Walmart or the dollar store or your garage and find the supplies and then, you know, teach your kids more of hands-on type of teaching that supplements the curriculum that you're using to make it more fun.
Right. Okay. That's good. Mm-hmm. So obviously you have mentioned a few of the resources that are already on your website. What would be some of the benefits that if someone were to go and, you know, look through your website, what were some of the benefits they'd be able to receive there? Some of the obviously these lesson plans and like, you have to pay those or some, do you have some stuff there on free or?
Yeah, I've got some free stuff on there. Definitely. There's quite a bit of there's 8 what I call cornerstone pages, which are pages that I developed to communicate with moms who were interested in homeschooling, who have not done it before and who wanted to really explore that before they, you know, jumped in. Mm-hmm. And you can find all 8 of those pages if you scroll to the bottom of classicalscholar.com, and in the footer, you'll see links to a page on classical education, a page on homeschooling plans, a page on teaching reading, a page on teaching thinking skills, a page on teaching writing skills, page on teaching speech, and high school.
Oh, so that's great.
Yeah, these 8 cornerstone pages, like I said, they're at the footer, the bottom of the page, and you just click on the link, and it takes you to a huge resource on each of those different topics.
Oh, that's great. So let's move into a new section now and talk a little bit about just some advice that you would give or some advice that you've received that you found helpful and some resources, that kind of thing. What's the best advice you've ever received regarding your homeschooling?
Well, I think now that I've graduated both the kids, I would say that the idea of doing dual credit was a good piece of advice.
Oh, so yeah, that's huge.
Yeah, so for your readers who don't know what dual credit is, if they haven't done this yet, the dual credit would be where you have a partnership with a local university or a community college or maybe an online type of accreditation system where your kids can pick up some credit that would apply for the university when they get ready to go to college. So, for instance, my kids did chemistry at the local university, and that way I didn't have to teach that level of chemistry with labs and all that in my kitchen.
Right.
And, yeah. And they were able to start college with some credits, maybe about a semester, I would say they had. We didn't do too much, but it was a good start for them, and they had already learned what kind of study skills they needed for college by doing that.
Sure. So, and I've heard of people who have, you know, taken the dual courses as well as some of the CLEPT tests.
Yes.
And have actually been able to, you know, get rid of an hour or a semester and a half or 2 semesters, mm-hmm. sometimes even 3 semesters worth of college, which can save money as well as just accelerate the education itself.
Exactly. And if you start, if you don't follow a subject-driven curriculum, like, for instance, if you don't do subjects in the early years and you do skills instead, that mm-hmm. frees you up to start some high school level accumulation of credit in 7th and 8th grade. So, like if you've got a child who's accelerated, who's ready to do freshman English or, you know, a biology class in 8th grade, you can go on and teach that so that you free them up in that senior year to do some dual credit.
Okay, yeah, that's great. This may be a simple question, but let me back up and ask you this real quickly, and that is when you talk about skills early on, what do you mean by that? I mean, obviously reading skills, communication, writing skills, that kind of thing. What else are you talking about?
Okay, well, within reading skills, I would say handwriting, spelling, vocabulary, those kind of subsets of skills are all mm-hmm. going to be there in the reading. In critical thinking, this would just be my own personal list. I would want my kids to learn how to do the scientific method and how to start observing and right. documenting what they're observing. I would want them to learn literary analysis. So we would start, even in the early years when we're reading illustrated storybooks, we would start predicting and narrating and talking about what is the meaning of this or what do you think is going to happen next. So just critically thinking about the books that we're reading and observing our world around us. Within the communication skills, I'd even start having the kids give short impromptu speeches early. So like, this is a great idea. We did this and I loved it and it was a lot of fun. And I've shared this with a lot of moms who say it works. If you take like a jar or something and put it on your kitchen table and find some prompts, P-R-O-M-P-T-S, which are basically just quotes or topics, and you prompt the child to give a speech with it. So, for instance, like if you wanted to find some Benjamin Franklin quotes, you could search online for Benjamin Franklin quotes and then print out a page of quotes, cut them up into these little strips of paper, which we would call prompts, drop them into the little cookie jar, glass jar, mason jar, whatever, on the kitchen table. Every morning what we did when my kids probably got to be about, I don't know, 10 or 11, is we would pull a prompt, just a random prompt out, and then I would set the timer and I would give them 3 minutes to prepare a short speech. And the speech didn't last long in the beginning. It was probably, you know, a minute and a half or so.
Right.
But doing that,
it got them started.
Yeah, it got them started. And so you can actually start to work on communication skills in a more, controlled manner from early ages before they ever get to high school speech.
Sure. Boy, that's a great benefit right there that you taught them that skill early on, because mm-hmm. communications is huge for no matter what they go into.
Yeah, and they said a lot of people are so afraid to speak that they would rather, die or do something treacherous instead of get up and give a speech. But if we as Christians can't communicate, then the culture will, take over and we won't have an opportunity to push back on what's happening.
Right. Well, fundamentally, we're called to preach the gospel. And how can you do that if you can't communicate?
Well,
that's critical. So what advice would you give a family that is, maybe borderline, they're considering whether or not to homeschool, that kind of thing? What's the best advice that you could give them?
Okay. I would say that they should take it, a little bit at a time. So don't make a huge commitment in the beginning, like we're going to go 12 years, because you don't know what circumstances are going to come up and how life's going to change in that time. But any time that you can invest in your child, even if it's only 1 year, is great.
Right.
So what I would do is I would make a commitment for that first year, whatever year you're pulling your kids out of public school, or maybe you've never put them in and you're just starting from home, just being at home with your kids. Make a commitment to try for the first year. And every day, read out loud to them. Mm. Get a library card. Get them a library card. Each child gets their own library card. Get a bag or a rolling cart or something so that you can go to the library every week and let them pick out as many books as they want and incorporate the reading aloud. Because what that does is it's going to improve their vocabulary phenomenally. It's going to teach them how we speak, what our diction's like, what pacing's like. They're going to learn meaning from you as you're interpreting what they're reading.
Plus, they love it.
Yeah, and they love it. It's great. You can read from books. You can write from books. You can narrate from books. Like one of the things that we did when my kids were really young was I would take a piece of blank copy paper, white paper, and I would divide it into thirds in the portrait. You could do it landscape layout if you want, but I just did portrait. So the top two thirds of the paper were blank, and then I drew a line. And I took a ruler and drew three or four lines, the big wide lines at the bottom of the page. And that would be the place where they would write. So in the top part, the blank part, after we would do a read aloud, they would draw a picture. And we did this with scripture. We did this with illustrated storybooks every day, practically in the early years. They would communicate back to me what they were learning, what they were impressed by. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, like we had read a story out of the Bible, the kids would draw. My son was always drawing like armies and kings, right, and stuff like that. So they would draw a picture in the top two thirds, and then in the bottom two thirds, in the beginning, before they can actually write by themselves, they would tell me what to write. And uh-huh. I would just word by word write exactly what they said. And so they might say, Samson set the fox's tails on fire, or whatever the story was. And I would just copy it. And so they would be watching me write, so that by the time it was time for them to start writing, they knew what to do. And they were, they realized that words had meaning and mm-hmm. letters had meaning and all that stuff. So in the beginning, I would
probably also were more interested in wanting to learn how to do it so they could write their own thing.
Yes. And they finally got to that point, and that was exciting. So in the beginning, I would say that first year that you try it, do definitely read aloud every day and do some type of interpretation afterwards. So either have the child dictate to you and you copy it down, or let them try their own hand at writing a sentence. And then eventually you work up to complete paragraphs, and then you work up to essays and then research papers. And so from the very beginning, they've learned to interpret and think critically about what they're reading, and then they'll be ready as they get older.
Boy, that's great. I wished I would have had those things when I was getting going. My youngest ones are still learning some of those things, but my older ones, I had to play a lot of catch up because I didn't do it right the first time. So, but the good news is you can always make up for some of the mistakes, and that's the beauty of homeschooling.
That is true. There's so much flexibility and lots of added time that the public school kids don't have.
Right, exactly.
The second thing I would say is in starting to homeschool is the one subject area that I think you do need a curriculum on would be math.
Right.
I think that everything else, especially in the early years, you can pretty much go to the library and get science encyclopedias, like illustrated encyclopedias, books, all that. But with math, you really need a set of manipulatives, which are things that the kids can touch that mm-hmm. help them understand the concepts, like little coins or little square shapes for geometry or whatever.
Right.
And also some type of curriculum that will help, that will continue to repeat and build on the concepts. Because
sure.
if they get behind in math, it's really hard to catch up on that. So that's the only area I think you probably need to get some type of official curriculum.
Okay, great. So that you don't have to spend a lot of money, in other words, what you're saying. You can learn it without having to do all that.
Yeah.
What's one resource that you think is indispensable for homeschoolers? It can be, one of the resources you offer, or it can be, something else out there. But
mm-hmm. Something really interesting is happening, Stephen, on the internet with Pinterest. And mm-hmm. I would say that might be one free resource that everyone can find something on. People are pinning images of crafts and projects and even there's some narratives that are being pinned. It's not always an image, but people are accumulating this vast wealth of information on Pinterest. And I think you could actually go there and search on what you wanted to teach. Like if you wanted to teach something on astronomy, and you could probably find lots of great ideas on Pinterest with things that you had in your home or your garage that you could actually pull the project together with. So, I think that might be a good resource that maybe people haven't thought about.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I've never used Pinterest. I have to be honest. I just shied away from it because I'm afraid of some of the images that are on there.
Uh-huh.
And I know that can be a dangerous thing of the internet anyway, but
yeah.
I've never used Pinterest. So that's something I probably need to look into. Sounds like there's some resources there that are good.
Yeah, I haven't ever run into any images on Pinterest that I was, not wanting to see. Most
mm-hmm.
of I think the audience for Pinterest is probably quite a bit of women. And
okay.
So there's lots of recipes on there that might help you to be more efficient with your meal planning so that you've got more time to teach the kids. There mm-hmm. are crafts on there. There's teaching ideas on there. Yeah, so I think maybe that might be a good resource.
All right, very good. Well, what is it that you're really excited about right now? Maybe something that you're about ready to launch in your product-wise or your website, or maybe just the direction that homeschooling is taking or something like that. What's got you really excited right now?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think maybe my real excitement right now is this mom's course that I'm working on. Uh-huh. Like I said, I did a beta test of it, and a beta test just means that I had a group of women who volunteered to walk through the course with me and give me their feedback. And we did the beta test, and they were so excited, and they have just said how encouraged they were. And one of my gifts, I think, is encouragement. I love to say, you can do it, go for it. I have a vision for what it looks like to go all the way, you know, to graduation, and how you can raise up children who will really be influential in the culture so that they're equipped. And so I've got this mom's course, like I said, that I'm working on right now. And the way it's structured is it's four classes. Once you join, you have access to four classes. And the four classes are broken up into videos and audios. But not only just listening and watching, but you also do something with them. There are planning worksheets that go along with them. So, for instance, when I mentioned these reading skills, there's a little audio lesson on what the different reading skills are. And then as soon as they listen to the lesson, they click on a download for the worksheet. And then they can actually take that worksheet and assess each of their children each semester, if they want to, on how they're doing with their reading skills.
Okay.
And yeah, so that's something I'm really excited about. I think it's going to be quite special when it comes out. It should be out by the end of the year. And
the end of this year?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. So just like shortly.
Yeah, it's actually like I said, I've done the beta tests already. The only thing that that we've been doing is redoing the website so that it's more user friendly. Uh-huh. So some of the feedback that I got from them, I wanted to make some changes on the website. So,
and do you have a link on your Classical Scholar website that they can like get into a email list or something to let them know when that's coming out?
Yes, absolutely. So when you go to classicalscholar.com, what you're going to see is on the very first homepage, you'll see three big buttons, and the first button is a pink button that says Mom's Course. All you got to do is click on Mom's Course, and it'll take you to the sign-up page for the Mom's Course.
Okay, great.
The second button is a blue button that says High School. And if you have a high school child or you're interested in that, you can click on that, and it'll take you to my high school courses. And then the third one is Lesson Plans. It's a yellow button, and it tells you, gives you some lesson plans to look at.
So, fantastic. Well, that sounds good. So obviously going to classicalscholar.com is the way to go there. Is there other ways that people can contact you if they need to get more information or they want to, connect with you?
Yes. You can always email me. I love to get some conversations going. It's all lowercase, Diane, D-I-A-N-E at classicalscholar.com. I'm on Facebook. You can find me there at Diane.Lockman, L-O-C-K-M-A-N. I'm on Twitter. It's Classica Scholar. They weren't able to do classical with an L, so Classica Scholar. And, I'm almost always on online, so, you can pretty much expect a response from me within 24 hours.
Okay, great. And I'll try to put all those into the show notes so that you can just go right from this episode and link on all of those things and connect with Diane. I really appreciate you being with us, and we're out of time, but thank you so much for your time, and hopefully your product launch here will be a great success, and I wish you the best.
Thank you so much, Stephen. I've enjoyed talking to you.
Yeah, thank you. Bye-bye.
Thanks. Bye-bye.